This is Late Nights and Early Sunsets. Vampires will never hurt you, but zombies will eat your brains. A bandom fanfic featuring members of My Chemical Romance, written by Akamine Chan and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated R and contains additional tags for apocalypse and zombies. Author's Notes. Written non-anonymously for the LiveJournal community and non-lovefest. Unbated. Warning for non-cracky zombie apocalypse, with all that entails. God, almost made a bad joke right there. Nothing graphic, but still. Be warned. Title, partly from Early Sunsets Over Monroeville, and partly from Vampires Will Never Hurt You, by My Chemical Romance. The day is overcast. Frank's wired and restless. He isn't sleeping well, no one is, and he makes up the difference in caffeine, nicotine, and sugar. Usually that's a bad idea, guaranteed to bounce him onto someone's shit list. But right now, he doesn't fucking care. He's doing whatever it takes to get through the endless days and nights without going crazy. He thinks about bugging Bob. But Bob's way of dealing with the stress and tension is to sleep, hibernating in his bunk like a bear Bert. And much like a bear, he's prone to swiping at anyone who disturbs him. In the end, Frank decides it's not worth it. Instead, he walks the venue grounds, trying to keep himself distracted, hands in his pockets and shoulders hunched, a clear, "Don't fuck with me." Everyone's wound up. The bands, the crew, the organizers. Even the local staff is distracted and worried. The news coming out of California is bad and getting worse as the isolated pockets of neo-rabies stop being so isolated. The way phrases like acute encephalitis, negri bodies, and the Milwaukee Protocol are sneaking into everyday language is an indication of how this new disease has moved to the forefront of everyone's mind. He calls his mom every day. He's not the only one keeping in close touch. They're all calling their families, touching base, trying to pretend that everything's normal, that everything will be all right in the end. Frank's not so sure about that. So when his mom mentions joining some of their family at a vacation home in upstate New York, he urges her to go. If things get bad, he wants her the fuck out of the city and somewhere safe. Safer. I don't know, Frankie. Leaving seems like I'm admitting that something's wrong. Her voice is steady, but he can feel the undercurrents of uncertainty. Mom, something is wrong. He tucks the phone between shoulder and ear and lights a cigarette awkwardly. The nicotine soothes his nerves. I'd feel better knowing you're out of Jersey. I'll think about it, baby. There's a long pause, full of unsaid things. Talk to you tomorrow? Yeah, Mom. Love you. Love you too, Frankie, she says softly and hangs up. He listens to the dial tone for a long time, the sound fading into the white noise in his head. Frank looks out at the crowd from side stage, probably close to 4,000 people dressed mostly in band shirts and dirty jeans. There's something wrong. He can sense it in the air, a metallic-tasting off-rhythm buzz that rasps across his nerves. Adding to his uneasiness is the sour, sharp tang of fear hanging like a fog. Frank has never seen a crowd like this before, and it's giving him a headache. The tension out there is like a summer storm ready to break. When the temperatures climb and the skies cloud up and the lightning is so close you can smell it, but the storm just builds and builds and builds until every hair on your body is standing up and you have to bite your lip to keep from screaming. There's a touch on his shoulder and he jumps a little, relaxing when he realizes it's Ray. Fucked up crowd, huh? Ray comments, and Frank can only shrug in response. Yeah, it's a fucked up crowd, but it's only reflecting what everyone's feeling. Talk to my mom, Frank offers. How's she doing? Ray starts massaging Frank's shoulders, and it feels so fucking good. He lets his head droop forward. She's scared. Swallowing hard, Frank admits. I'm scared. Ray squeezes the back of Frank's neck. We all are, Frankie. He pulls Frank in close for a hard hug. We're all fucking scared. It shouldn't make him feel better, but somehow it does. He goes back to watching the crowd. Ray leaves him alone after a while. Eventually, Mikey joins him, bringing him a bottle of cold water. You okay? He doesn't have the energy to say much, so he just shakes his head. He's so fucking tired. Between the lack of sleep and this horrible feeling of something about to happen, the tension winding tight and tighter. You? I'll live. Mikey shrugs. G's on the phone with Mom and Dad. He sits down next to Frank and bumps shoulders. Talking about canceling the tour until things settle down? Too many of us worried about family and friends back home. Yeah. Frank lights another cigarette. Maybe that would be best. Distracted, he barely grumbles when Mikey steals both his cigarette and his water. Motherfucker. Whatever. Mikey throws a gangly arm around his shoulders. It's gonna be okay, Frankie. Swear? Mikey's never lied to him. Ever. And he wants to believe. So badly. Double pinky swear. Frank lets himself smile. Frank zones out a little, sinking into the music, feeling it drive away the worries. Gerard joins them and sits on the other side of Frank, leaning against him. He smells pretty rank, and normally Frank would bitch, but right now, he doesn't care. He feels safe, wedged between the Way brothers. There's a sudden shift in the air, and Frank shivers, skin crawling. He can hear screaming, but not the normal, enthusiastic screaming of fans singing along with the songs. This is different. This is hysteria and fear, and he's on his feet looking out at the crowd. At the distant edge of the audience, he sees a disturbance, a swirl of bodies moving ponderously, gaping mouths stained red, hands like claws. He watches in disbelief as a young girl is grabbed and bitten, empty eyes staring into her terrified face. He can't stop looking at the blood. Oh, fuck! Mikey stutters in shock. Christ, I didn't think... Frank didn't think, either. He feels a tug on his arm and he tries to shrug it off. Horrified at what's happening. Frank, Mikey. Gerard's voice is sharp and commanding, and Frank can't help but turn to him in surprise. Listen to me. Are you fucking listening? Gerard waits until he and Mikey nod. Grab who you can and get back to the bus, as fast as you can. Frank stands there, uncomprehending. What the fuck is Gerard... Now! Gerard barks, and Frank moves. He finds and grabs Ray, clings to him, unwilling to let go for even a second as they make their way through the crowds of crew, techs, and staff. They run across Cortez and another tech. Matt keeps trying to ask questions, but the panicked shrieking behind him shuts him up pretty quickly. Frank continues pulling Ray forward, even though he knows that Ray wants to go back, to help if he can. So Frank doesn't stop holding on, practically dragging him away, hand tight around Ray's wrist. He's probably leaving bruises. They jog across the asphalt, dodging the people who are rushing toward the venue. Frank wants to yell at them, warn them somehow, but he doesn't have the breath to do anything but pant and keep Ray moving forward. They get to the buses, and he shoves Ray up the stairs. Cortez and the other tech board the bus meekly enough. They don't have Ray's stupid desire to help everyone, thank fuck. He can hear Gerard, speaking loudly and calmly. He can't make out the words, but it's the tone that's important anyway. It's reassuring. He stands on the bottom step, looking back at the venue. Something's burning. He can see a black cloud of smoke drifting up, and there's almost a continuous roar of voices, a solid wall of screams and cries. He doesn't look too closely at the people staggering away from the venue, tries not to see the blood and... Frankie, get the fuck in here. He looks at Gerard and nods, climbing up the stairs as the door closes shut behind him. The end.